Begin the current daven, Masechet Schulim, daf Kuf Yod. Begin on the second line down at the top of the Yamin. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which we were discussing the halacha of our previous Mishnah, regarding the Kchal, regarding the udder. The udder is a unique situation regarding it's a piece of meat that has milk inside of it, which then one can run into the halachic problems about basim chalav regarding a forbidden mixture of meat and milk. So the Gemara tells us, Kiselik Reb Elazar, and Reb Elazar went up to Eretz Yisrael. Ashkeche leZiri, he encountered Ziri, and Amalei said to him, Ikatana, is there someone over here in this place who teaches braises? The Asne leRav Kechal, is there someone over here who had taught to Rav the halacha that the Kechal, the udder, that was cooked without first tearing it to remove all the milk that's inside of it, that's forbidden to eat that udder? The reason why he was asking this was because he had heard the second version of Rav, which we had quoted two different versions in the previous daf, regarding this halacha of the kchal that was cooked, and he had learned that version that it was going to be permitted. So therefore, he wanted to know who was it that taught the brisa that was difficult for Rav, and that actually said that if the udder was cooked without being torn open first, that it's going to be forbidden to be. So Achvei, so the people from that place showed him, they pointed l'Rav Yitzchok Bar Avadimi, that they told Reb Elazar that he's the one that taught to Rav the brisa that it's actually forbidden the kchal if it wasn't torn to rip out all the milk before the udder was cooked. So that on Malay, so actually Reb Yitzchok said to Reb Elazar, Ani lo shanisi lo kchal kol ikar. I didn't teach him any forbidden halacha regarding the udder, whether, as we'll see, possible differentiations between the udder of a nursing animal or of animal that's not nursing, because if it's nursing, then there's going to be a lot of milk, which could obviously be more of a halachic problem. He says, I didn't teach him any halacha regarding kchal that it's asur. But Virav, who had taught the others that the udder is going to be forbidden if it wasn't torn to tear out all the milk before it's cooked, that's because bika matzah, which literally means to say he found an open field. In other words, he saw that people were degrading and not careful with the isr, the prohibition of basa b'chalav, and therefore he was stringent on them. And begad the bogeder, and therefore he made a fence around the halacha. The reason for this was because the Rav iklu l'tat lofesh. He went to this place, tat lofesh. Shamilahi itza, the karmel l'chaberte, heard a woman telling her friend, Riva, a quarter litra the bisra of meat. Kama chalbaboy levshule, how much milk do you need to cook that meat in? So Amma, he said, look, Gemir the basa b'chalav says these women don't even know that it's prohibited to have and cook meat and milk. So Yaakov ka'aslu kachli, he stayed there and he made it even forbidden to cook the udder because he wanted to be so careful in this regard because the people are going to be able to cook the udder. Oh, there's milk and meat and people might think it's actually permitted. Therefore, he made it forbidden. But really, in truth, the halacha is, as that second version of Rab was, that it's actually permitted, but it's not a contradiction actually with the first version, that it's usser. That was a takana, a gedr that Rav had made, simply because of people who erred in this halacha. Now, Rav Kahana Masli Hachi, Rav Kahana taught, as we had just said, that this was what Rav Yitzchok had responded to Reb Elazar, that he didn't tell him at all that there's any kchal that's really going to be usser. It's just a gedr that he made. But Rav Yitzchok Bar Abba Masli, he actually learned a different version of that incident. He says, Anok chal shel manika shanisilei. The Rav Yitzchok said to Reb Elazar, what I did teach him was regarding the udder of a nursing animal, where there in its udders, then it has a lot of milk gathered over there. That's where it's going to be problematic if you don't tear it open first, because then you're really cooking with meat and milk. But umipulpulei shel Reb Chiya, because of the great sharpness of Reb Chiya, who he understood this idea on his own. Now, he thought that his students would also be able to discern that difference between the two of them. Now, the thing is, shanli kechal stam. When he taught it, he just taught it regarding the problem about the udder. Now, he thought that his student, Rav, would understand that the problem is only regarding a nursing animal, but Rav didn't, and therefore it was over as if it's going to be usher. But the truth is, he said that the way I taught it originally was that it's only the kechal manika. From a nursing animal, there, if one didn't tear it, there's so much milk, that's going to be problematic. But it really wasn't taught in general. So, however, there are students that weren't able to discern that. But really, it's regarding kchal manika and not a kchal of an animal that was not nursing. Now, continuing on these halachas regarding the kchal, the udder of an animal. So the Gemara means that Ravin, Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef, Iklu Lebei Rav Papi. They went to the house of Rav Papi. Aisu Lukamayu Tavshil Dekchal. And they brought in front of them a dish of meat, which was the udder. Now, Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef achel, he ate it. Ravin lo yachel, he didn't eat it. So Amar Abaye said, Ravin tichla. Tichla from like shachel, which is someone who buries his sons. Amar lo yachel. Why didn't Ravin, who buries his sons, why didn't he eat the kchal? Mechti, let's see. The base of Rav Papi, the house of Rav Papi who was making the food, Barata Rav Yitzchok Nafcha Havi. She's the daughter of Rav Yitzchok Nafcha, now Rav Yitzchok Nafcha, Mari Duvda Hava, which literally means to say that he's the master of the actions, meaning he's careful in Maisim Taivim, in good actions, in mitzvahs. Ilav Deshmila Memnei Nasha. Had the wife of Rav Papi not heard this from our father's household, Lava Avda, she wouldn't have done this, and therefore obviously the Kal is permitted to be eaten, and therefore why it didn't Rav and eat from the udder. Now the Gemara tells us, however, that Besura Loi Achli Kachli, in Besura they didn't eat Kachli at all, even if it's roasted as we brought in the previous stuff, that makes it better, because whatever milk is dripping out, it's not getting recooked in, it's dripping down onto the coals, and even if it was torn, now, some texts bring because that was the locale of Rav, which we had taught he holds that it's Usr, but they didn't eat the Kal at all. No matter what was done to it beforehand, they didn't eat the udder that was cooked. But Pumpadisa Achli Kachli and Pumpadisa, they did eat the udders. As we brought that, that shouldn't be problematic if one removes the milk from the udder, and then you just have a regular piece of meat. Now, the Gemara brings the story related to this differential in Halacha, that Rami Bar Tamri, the who Rami Bar Dikuli, he was also known as Rami Bar Dikuli, he was Mipumbadisa. Now, Ikla Lasura, B'mali Yom de Kippur. He came to Sura, and these are two places in Bavel, on Erev Yom Kippur, which everyone was eating because of Erev Yom Kippur. Now, Afkinu Kule Amal Kachlinu Shadinu. Everyone threw their udders outside into the streets because, again, like we said, in Sura they didn't eat the Kral. Azlihu Naktinu Achlinu. He went, he gathered them all together, and he ate them. So they saw this person eating the forbidden food in their place, and they brought him from the Rav Chisda. Amalei said to him, why did you do this? Why did you eat a kral? Amalei, Master Rabbi Huda, no, the Achel. Says, well, I'm from the locale of Pumbadisa, Rabbi Huda, where they do eat. So Amalei says, okay, but Velesach, don't you hold to the halacha that tells, when the person goes to a different locale, a different location, so they place upon the stringencies of the place that he left, and he has this stringency of the place that he went to. Here in Surah, we don't eat it. What are you doing eating it? Amalei said to him, you're right, I would never have done it in the place itself. I gathered it and I ate it out of the boundary of the city, which doesn't have the halachas that are binding to that city. So he asked him, okay, would you have wood to go ahead and roast this meat? Amalei, before Tzani, says, I found the grape seeds that were near the vats, and I burned those seeds, and that was the fuel that I used to roast these udders. So he asked him, "B'dima mayayin esachavya?" But maybe those grape seeds were processed by non-Jews, and it's yayin esach, and that's forbidden to have benefit from. So Amalei said to him, "No, la'achashnei masachaydesh havya." It was after 12 months already, and the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Aleph Manav says only when they're moist is it forbidden, but when it's dry, it's permitted. And what is moist? Only for 12 months. Since it's after 12 months, it doesn't have the halacha of being prohibited because of Yayin Nesach. But then they asked him, B'dimla de Gezel Hava, but maybe it was stolen. How can you go? Whose were they? How were you able to take them? Amalei says, No Yish Bayon Hava. Most definitely was given up hope from by the owners, and therefore it's not owned by the owners anymore to be Gezel, because the Kodchu Behu Chilfi, it had this moss, these nettles that grow over and decomposes and turns like into dust. And since it was so ruined and so moldy already, and it wasn't taken, obviously, because the owners weren't concerned anymore, and therefore it was Yish, which is Hefker. Now, Chazi Dolav Amon of Tefillin, Reb Chizda saw that he wasn't wearing Tefillin. Amalei said to him, "My time alei manachas Tefillin, why aren't you wearing Tefillin? And Talmudic time to wear Tefillin all day." Amalei said to B'chayla Ma'ayin, who says him regarding himself, that he has intestinal ailment. Vam Rabbi Yehuda says, Chayla Ma'ayin, Patim Ad Tefillin. Again, from his place, Rabbi Yehuda says, someone who has intestinal ailment is exempt from Tefillin because he constantly has to be taking them off, going to the lavatory, and therefore he's exempt. Now, Chazid Lav Karam Echuti, so that he wasn't wearing strings, meaning he didn't have tzitzis on his four-cornered garment. Amalei said to him, My time less lachuti, why don't you have strings? Amalei said to him, Tala Sha'ulihi, the garment that I'm wearing is borrowed. Vam Rabbi Yehuda, and again, quoting from Rabbi Yehuda, as we continue to Medbeis, Tala Sha'ula, a borrowed cloak, Kol Shalei Shemiyam, Beturim and Tzitzis, for the 30 days, in the first 30 days, they're exempt from Tzitzis, and therefore there's no obligation on Tzitzis. Now, Adahachi, Aisu Lahu Gav, in the meantime, when Rav Chisda was interrogating him, they brought in to Rav Chisda a certain individual, to have a Moikar Avu of Ime, that wasn't honoring properly his father and his mother. So Kaftu, so they were tying him onto the pillar to give him lashes. As the Braisa teaches in Subastav Pevav Manav, when do we say that a person only gets 39 lashes and not more? That's when he violates a negative prohibition, where it was already done. But regarding a forthcoming positive commandment and he doesn't want to fulfill it, for example, they tell him, make a sukkah and he doesn't make a lulav and he doesn't make it, then they hit him until his soul leaves him. So there was this person that had a positive commandment of honoring his father and his mother and he wasn't fulfilling it, they were going to give him lashes until he agrees to do it. Amalahum. So he said to them, no shavkuhu, leave this man alone. Because the time you learn the Braisa, they call mitzvahs asei shema anschar betzida. Any positive commandment that's written in the Torah, its reward right there in the Torah, which by Kibbut Abba'im it says in Shema Yitzchav, l'man yarichun yamecha, so that you'll have lengthy days if you fulfill the mitzvah Kibbut Abba'im. That's why it says it's a specific reward to tell you that if you don't fulfill it, that is the punishment that you will not take this reward. And therefore, in bezen shalamata musarn alav. Therefore, the court down here is not prescribed to go ahead and take the intervention in their hands, and therefore such a person does not get lashes to go ahead and be forced to fulfill the mitzvah. So Amalei, Rav Chisda said to him, Chazin aloch, the charif is tuv. He says, I see you very sharp. So Amalei said to him, Ihavis ba'asid Rav Yehuda, if you'd be in the location of Rav Yehuda back home where he is from Pumbadisa, Achvin aloch v'chorfai, I would already show you how sharp I am. But you haven't seen anything yet. I think Gemara goes back to the topic of our Mishnah, which the other topic, there were two things that we said you have to tear it open before you cook it. One was the khal, the other because of basa b'chal, the other one was the heart because of the blood that's inside. So continuing on the halacha of blood, Amalei Abayil Rav Safir says, Kisalkis lahasam b'yiminayu. Bayi said to Rav Safir, when you go up there to Eretz Yisrael, ask from them, Kavdim ma'atun bay, what do you hold regarding the liver? In other words, is it permitted to cook it in a pot or is it forbidden because it will emit, it will spit out the blood that's inside the liver, meaning, although the liver really is entirely blood, even so, but once it leaves and goes out, then maybe it's going to be qualified as dam, and then forbidden when it gets reabsorbed, and therefore forbidden to be eaten. Now, Kisalik, when Rav Safir went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechil Rav Zreika, he encountered Rav Zreika, and he inquired from him. So Amalei, Rav Zreika said to him, Ano shalki lil Rabami, says, I cooked liver for Rabami, v'achal, and he ate it, meaning not just roasting, but cooked it. And therefore, it went back in, and still you see that it's not a problem. Now, ki asa, when Rav Safir came legabei, he came back to Abai, and he told him what he heard in Eretz Yisrael. So Abai said to him, no, lemeser nafshei, to make the liver itself forbidden, meaning that the blood that gets spit out from it and goes back into it to make it forbidden, like mibayli. Says Abai, that I never had a question. That was obvious to me that since the liver is busy spitting out continuously and consistently at all times when it's being cooked its blood, it doesn't reabsorb it. And therefore, I knew that it's going to be permitted when you even cook liver in a pot. What was my question? To go ahead and forbid the other things that are being cooked in the pot with the liver at the same time. Do we say if the blood that comes out of it will make the other meat forbidden that's being cooked with the liver? Now, and that he asked him, but Maishna Lamesa Nafsha, Dulamiboyloch, so asked Rav Safir back to Abaya, why is it regarding the liver itself? You don't have a question regarding saying that it should be forbidden itself, because it's not. Obviously, you're coming from the Mishnah Masechta Trumas that tells us that ain't in the Seris, that it's not forbidden. So in other words, he's asking from the fact that you obviously know this halacha so clearly that it's going to be permitted to liver itself, obviously you heard this Mishnah. So regarding making the other piece of meat that cook with the liver, then you should also not have a question, because that same Mishnah teaches that, yes, those other things cooked with the liver are forbidden. With this is a Mishnah in Seder Zeroyim. Not like the Mishnah, again, teaches there in Trumas. It says, Hakavai, the liver, Oiseres, if it's cooked with other piece of meat, it does make them forbidden. Now, but like we said, Ve'ena Neseres, it itself does not become forbidden. Memneshi Perletus, Ve'ena Belas, because the liver is constantly spitting out, but it's not absorbing. So it's spitting out, so it's making the other piece of meat forbidden, but it itself does not become forbidden because it's not absorbing. So then what's your question? Then if you knew that it itself does not become forbidden, then you obviously know that it makes the other piece of meat with it forbidden too. And that Amalei Abaye said to him, no. Dil mahasim bekabdid isurim. Maybe that Mishnah is talking about not that it's making the other piece of meat forbidden because of the blood that it's spitting out when it's a kosher liver. Maybe it's talking about a forbidden liver like that of a treifa animal, where the problem is that inherently in the liver, not because of the blood, but rather as the Gemara continues to have of Kofi Alva Manalva, Umishum Shamnunisa, because of the fats of the liver. That's what's saying it's making the other piece of meat forbidden, cooked with it forbidden, because it's absorbing from treifa. Now, this that it says that the liver itself is not going to become forbidden, what it's coming to say then is, if the liver is kosher liver, because we're saying it's talking about non-kosher liver, So with non-kosher liver, what are you saying? It's making other things forbidden, but itself is not becoming forbidden. It's already forbidden because it's non-kosher. So now Rashi explains that it's talking about two different cases. If then when it's saying that, it says HaKavad HaSeres, the covered liver makes the other things forbidden if it's not kosher liver. But when it says Ve'ein HaSeres, it's saying, and if it's kosher liver and it's being cooked with treifa meat, then it's saying the liver will not become forbidden, like the Mishnah explains, because it's constantly busy spitting out, emitting, and it's not absorbing anything. But that's what I can tell you that the Mishnah there is talking about. But Mishum Dama, because of the blood that comes out of even a kosher liver, that was my question, what's the halacha, would it make other pieces of meat forbidden or not? Because you could say that, no, the blood is permitted, because the liver you're allowed to eat, and the liver is entirely of blood. Now, so as long as the liver, the blood has not left, obviously you're allowed to eat the liver. My question was, but if the blood does come out, then what's the halacha with the other piece of meat? The liver itself, when it's cooked by itself, it doesn't reabsorb anyway. But regarding the other piece of meat, that was my question that you cannot prove from that Mishnah, because I could tell you that Mishnah that saying that the liver is going to be a problem for other things is a non-kosher liver and because of the fats of it, but maybe the blood would not. That's my question, would the blood make other things forbidden or not? And that's what the Gemara continues on the next daf regarding that question itself.